You're listening to the Top Shelf Creator Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Braxton Wood for a second interview. And Braxton is a multifaceted software entrepreneur, coach, speaker, and social media influencer who is passionate about helping people find and flourish in the work they love. His consulting expertise has fortified over 400 companies across 11 countries, driving over $30 million in annual client revenue. His engaging online content has amassed over 150 million views and has been recognized by outlets such as The Daily Dot, The Sun, Monster.com, CEO Blog Nation, Step It Up Entrepreneur Podcast, and the No Degree Podcast. And today we talked all about TikTok. How does the SEO work? How do you grow an audience quickly? And how do we know that the content that we're using is actually bringing in clients so that we can grow the business and not just have a bunch of vanity metrics in our back pocket? So stay tuned. Get ready to discover the best way to create a thriving business online from other creators and entrepreneurs just like you, who are making a full-time living doing what they love. I'm Cabrina Ashley, and as a former Disney trainer and consultant, I'm here to guide you in telling the right stories so you can be seen and heard by your ideal clients. Each week, join me in conversations with industry leaders as we unveil the keys to crafting a sustainable business that helps you more than survive, but thrive. This is the first creator podcast to give you clarity, help you position yourself in the market, and harness your influence to scale your community. Welcome to the Top Shelf Creator Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Top Shelf Creator. And we are back with Braxton, who was in episode, I think, 7 for us. So he hasn't been on for a little bit, but we've talked back and forth ever since we met originally over on TikTok. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is how do you actually monetize TikTok? Because Braxton has figured out the science behind it and is in the process of doing some research, and it talks about it a lot. So Braxton, why don't you introduce yourself real quick for our new listeners and then give us a little bit of backstory on this TikTok stuff.
Yeah. So I'm Braxton Wood. I own two businesses and in the creator space, my main business in that space is my career development and professional training company. And so that's where my brand on TikTok is, that company in particular. I've only been on TikTok specifically for about 18 months. And in that time, I'm almost up to 400,000 followers, 160 million views. And it's been quite a ride for someone. I honestly didn't even want to start on TikTok. I was kind of against it at first. And so it's kind of funny to see how that played out. But that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah. And I love that it's only been 18 months because we found each other almost at the very beginning of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this guy's going somewhere. So let's be friends before he gets too big. And I'm so glad that we did, because there's so many things that I think that I've learned from you and that my community has learned from you, just watching how you handle things and how you're very like, this is how it needs to be. Because we're in a kind of like what we talked about last time, we're in a world that's changing drastically from the norm that we're used to. It's not just making tiny little changes. COVID changed everything for people in general, but specifically the creator economy and entrepreneurs and how we get our information out there. So what do you feel is working the best for you that's helping you with that kind of growth?
There's a lot of ways I could answer that. But I think when it comes to what I've discovered, just with what I've been doing with TikTok and short form video is, we've had 15 or 20 years of all the other social media platforms and the Facebooks and not to dog them, but there's a certain level of polish that I think people expect on those platforms. And that's kind of how those platforms have evolved, is to have this certain sheen and polish to them. And I think from what I've observed, people, consumers, users, viewers have become allergic to kind of that. And what I've found on TikTok that has in part brought me a lot of success and been very enjoyable for me is to realize that short form video is all about authenticity. And so if you can come and create content that is authentic and genuine, the polish isn't necessary because people are tired of seeing that. They want to see the real you. They want to see the real, whatever creator or business you are, whatever you have, they want to see that authenticity.
Mm-hmm. So for somebody who's just starting to get into short form video or has been doing the more polished, like here's my opening hook and here's my content and here's my closure. And I make sure that it loops real nicely so that you listen to me over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. because I've listened to all the gurus, how would you tell them to start being authentic to where they can really dig deep into that? Because there's a lot there.
Yeah.
How worthy do I feel to be on TikTok? Do I know enough to just talk off the cuff? Oh, I'm not good without being more planned out. There's a lot of complaints and problems that people run into that just are different fears. Mm-hmm. So what would be some of your suggestions and maybe some of the ways that you got past that?
Yeah. So there's two things that come to mind. So the first thing that comes to my mind is I actually was on a coaching call just yesterday with someone that found me on TikTok, and they came to me and their biggest problem was and it wasn't until we kind of spoke that they themselves realized this, but their problem was, is they weren't willing to be vulnerable. They weren't willing to allow themselves to get embarrassed. And I think there's a huge need for that, honestly. And that goes right back to the authenticity piece. You only have to embarrass yourself so many times before you're not embarrassing yourself anymore. And now you've learned something and you're on the other side of it. And whatever your craft is, you've now perfected it through that journey. And so for me and my early content, to answer your question, Cabrina, like if you were to scroll all the way down past, I think I'm almost at 700 videos on my TikTok alone now. If you were going to go to my way early ones, you would see how terrible they are. And in the moment, at that time when I recorded them, even 18 months ago, I thought they were very novel and very innovative. And so you have to be willing to go through that process of being vulnerable and just be willing to experiment and find out what works for you. What is it that you do? What's unique about you that resonates with other people? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I would say is it's hard for me to not answer that question without bringing this up, which is there's a clip going around that I saw Mr. Beast of all people. Like, he's kind of, you know, the best example when it comes to video content. And the thing he said is make 100 videos and just do something better with each one. Right. And that's basically, I didn't realize until I heard Mr. Beast say that, but that's exactly what I did for 3 or 4 months early on with my short form video. I was getting really discouraged because nothing I was doing was working. Nothing was resonating. I wasn't getting traction anywhere. And I'm in Facebook groups that are all about growing your TikTok. And I'm seeing people say, oh my gosh, I got 10,000 followers overnight. And oh my gosh, I got 50,000 followers this week. And I'm like, what on earth am I doing wrong? And It goes right back to that willingness to be vulnerable, be willing to let yourself get embarrassed, be willing to pay your dues, really. Be willing to make those 100 videos and just do something better, even if it's something little, every time. And you will eventually get better, because when I finally decided to embrace that, that's when my TikTok started blowing up. And I think there was a week where I got 80,000 followers one time, which was unreal. But like that is totally possible if you are just willing to embrace that concept.
Mm-hmm. How has the follower count going up helped you gain more clients currently?
It's interesting. I mean, it's just that I think it's a combination of you have to be willing to put something out that resonates with people. And honestly, in my opinion, another strategy that at a very basic level that I use with TikTok and short form video in general is that you have to be entertaining. So there are gurus out there that will say, you know, leverage trends, trending sounds, trending formats, trending templates, whatever it is, all that type of stuff. Use this, use that. And you just have to be willing to be entertaining. And some people confuse that with you have to be funny. No, there's other ways to be entertaining besides being funny. And so, so embrace being willing, entertaining, and lead with that, because that's really what's going to get people to follow you. But also you got to put content out there that is followable. Like something that I've realized is people and users follow you when they know what to expect, right? And so if you put something out there that's a trend that is kind of a one-off trend and it has nothing to do with, you're going to get followers for the wrong reason. And so anyway, to directly answer your question, you have to put out the right content in order to get clients from that. And that's something that I learned early on, is there was a period with my TikTok that I kind of pigeonholed myself with content that was doing very well from a metrics perspective on TikTok itself, but I wasn't getting a lot of business from it. And so I had to pivot a little bit and realize that there's ways to go about it where, yeah, you followers and views, that's great, but how is that translating into growing your business? So you have to be really conscious of how you're putting content out and who the audience is that it's actually resonating with, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love how you said that it's not just funny content that we need to be putting out. Because I think we forget that there's different kinds of movies that we watch. There's different genres of books. Mm-hmm. And so what genre do you fit into as a creator? Exactly. And figure out what that is. Because you're right. This whole disjointed thing of do this trend, do this dance. I think that those are fun, mm-hmm. just to have like some random personality things. And you could definitely pull those into that genre for you if you had a specific kind of music that you listen to, or a specific kind of, maybe you do all of the trends that have to do with Friends, for example. Then it would make sense because it's part of the brand that you've created. Mm-hmm. But on TikTok, it's so easy to become disjointed. When did you realize that what you were putting out there wasn't pulling in the clients that you wanted, minus, you know, not getting the calls? But what was that realization? And then how did you go about fixing that for yourself?
I think it's understanding your first, knowing your audience, but also knowing the platform you're on and the quote unquote meta of the platform, right? And so you have to understand like what sandbox you're playing in. And so in terms of like, when did I realize that? I'm seeing people with 10,000, 20,000, 40,000 followers, and they're getting all this business. And I'm like, well, what the hell am I not doing right? So that was one thing, is like, okay, I'm seeing people building their business off TikTok. And in that moment back then, it didn't feel that way for me, but here I am with 100,000, 200,000 followers. There's something's not right there. So that's one thing, but also knowing the platform, there is like, in even just recent months, I've realized that there is a very methodical approach to creating content on TikTok. And as far as I can tell, it's more methodical than any other platform I've ever been on, any other platform out there. And once you understand that method, you can really almost, I don't want to say game the system, but that's almost what it feels like. I can predictably post a video that gets a million views within a couple of days if you understand that methodology. And all those different strategies come into it. Understand your audience, understanding your hook, understanding the content you're putting out, how you're framing the content, all those things, that the authenticity, especially, all that comes into play. And once you realize that, that's when things can kind of pivot in the right direction for you.
So walk us through that roadmap that you just mentioned of gaming TikTok.
There's a lot to it. So the first thing I would say is authenticity. Always lead with authenticity. Always be willing to be entertaining. Those two things you have to be willing to embrace. And that, I don't think that applies with TikTok, that applies with short form video in general, right? So those two things first, figure out what is genuine and what is authentic about you. Then there's all the more like strategic tactical type stuff, right? So you got to understand the hook, right? And a lot of gurus out there will talk about the hook being the 7-second hook. And I disagree. I think your hook is 4 seconds. And when I start embracing that, things change for me as well. So in terms of formatting and creating your video, you want a 4-second hook. You want a snippet of where you're over-delivering on value or providing, you know, the, kind of the meat and potatoes of your content. And then if your goal with that video is to get clients, to get business, to get leads, then there's a 4-second call to action after that. So hook, 4-second hook, deliver value, and then show testimonials, and then your call to action. Boom, 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 boom. Just like that. Awesome. And then lastly, there is a whole other topic around TikTok SEO. The SEO is living, and it's a real concept on the platform, just like Google is. Google has its own SEO system, I guess. TikTok does as well, and it doesn't work the same as Google's does. So once you understand TikTok's SEO, which is a whole other, you know, ball game, that's a whole other experiment, but that's when you really can accelerate what you're doing. And just to give an example of that, like there was a period, it happened early this year, where a lot of TikTok's algorithm changes happened. They were very significant. And when that happened, I noticed all the videos that I could predictably get a million plus views on were now only getting maybe 200 or 300,000 views, which is, and you know, grateful for the views that I was getting, but it was a very significant drop. And I saw that it was consistently happening. So that told me that something was changed, something was wrong. And so I really started digging into TikTok SEO. And when I figured out that SEO is a thing on TikTok and how to leverage it, million plus view videos again, but almost overnight. So very, very real type of thing that people and creators need to understand with TikTok specifically too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's so important to do the keyword research for yourself. Mm-hmm. Of what are the things that people, what do I want people to find me for? I think this hooks right back into authenticity in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Because who are you and why should people follow you? I was just having this conversation with my 8 and 7-year-old about starting a YouTube channel. They're like, we just want to make dance videos and make music videos and put them on YouTube and people will follow us because we told them where to push the button. And I was like, I wish it was that
easy. If only.
And how many creators are actually going out there? And it got me thinking, how many people are going out there and just putting content out there and being like, this is cool. I like it. I enjoy doing this. And they're like, why isn't anybody following me? Mm-hmm. I told them where the button was. I pointed at it so that they would follow me. And that's exactly what my kids have been thinking. And so we sat down at a Chick-fil-A and I was like, why should somebody follow you over anybody else on the internet, over all the other kid creators that are out there? Why should somebody follow you? And you could see the cogs in their head turning. Yep. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting, because these are concepts that creators in general just don't understand. We don't have specific words that we're like, here's the words that I use when I talk, so that the AI is picking up those words, mm-hmm. and pulling them into SEO. And then I'm using those words in my titles. I'm using those words in my captions. I'm using those words everywhere I go, because then all these platforms know exactly when somebody searches for those words, they're pulling them to you. Mm-hmm. It's very much like creating a spider web of things, and you're doing it all over the internet. And I think that this concept on a very big 30,000 foot scale, because obviously SEO is way more complicated than anything that we could cover in an episode on a podcast. We could have a whole podcast about TikTok SEO.
Certainly.
But that idea of like, what are the words that describe who you are? So how did you go about finding out those words so that they were getting pulled into that search bar for you?
Yeah, so it's interesting, and I could get really into the weeds with this, but this is something I just discovered a few months ago when I encountered this problem with how TikTok changed things. So to answer your question, you have to see what TikTok recognizes as a topic, basically. And so the way you do that, just like you were alluding to, is to run searches in the search bar in TikTok and search for something that's relevant to your audience, and then see what other words it recommends. So a lot of people recommend that, but where the kind of the next level strategy with that is look at the videos that it recommends to you when you search for those keywords and see what type of engagement those videos get. And if none of those videos, even though TikTok recognizes it as a topic, if those videos aren't getting a lot of engagement, then you probably don't want to go with that keyword. And so the trick is to figuring out, okay, what keywords, and this is SEO in general, right? Google kind of works the same way. You're just getting a piece of the pie. But if you can do, what I love about the Wild West of TikTok is if you can do that better, which is a lot easier right now because most people don't understand this, you can get significant engagement on your videos by just understanding this SEO concept.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it makes it so much easier long term, because then we know what to create based on what our audience is already watching. Because like you said, if we're seeing a video, maybe you have a couple of things that you put out that are specific to brand building, or maybe they're pillars within your business that maybe don't do as well, because they are things that your people need to know, but not necessarily things that are followable. And I think that those are okay to put out there in bits and pieces, but it's, you know, it's like eating junk food. It's all in proportion,
yeah.
All in moderation. And then putting the really good stuff out there that people are going to be really excited to hear more about you from. So what are some of the words that you found that didn't work?
Oh man, that's a big question. So one thing that I was doing, you know, it's interesting because a lot of this has to do with how you even frame your profile on TikTok. And so like even the keywords you put in your bio actually have a very significant impact. And so when I made this discovery about how the SEO works on TikTok, very next thing I did was go and change the keywords on my profile bio. So keywords that didn't work were keywords that I wanted to be known for, but no one else on the platform was basically interested in them, is the best way I can describe it. When I would go search for certain keywords, TikTok didn't even recognize it as a topic. And the way you know if TikTok doesn't recognize it as a topic basically is if it doesn't show up in the search results as a suggestion. But also if you're scrolling through TikTok, one thing to point out, this is kind of a pro tip, is you're scrolling through the TikTok, there's the search bar always up on your For You page. And if there is a topic that video that TikTok recognizes that video is relevant to, then it's going to show the keyword in the search bar during the video. And that's the secret sauce right there. And so what I found was a lot of my videos that I was trying to get found for certain topics and keywords, the keywords weren't showing up in that search bar, which means that TikTok probably doesn't either TikTok doesn't recognize that as a topic and it's not indexed as such, or you're doing a poor job associating your content with that topic. Does that make sense?
Yes, which means that that 200 views jail that everybody's always talking about of like, do this and do that to get out of this, mm-hmm. is probably just because you didn't get indexed inside once it got pushed out to people and it either got scrolled through or it just wasn't interesting. So you only got so many views of the people that maybe were actually just followers who just happened to see you when they mm-hmm. opened the app.
Yep. That, and also that means, what that really means is, if it's not getting indexed under a certain category, TikTok doesn't know where to put your video. And so you need to do it a favor and in turn do yourself a favor by being more intentional with your keywords even in the captions. Like if you use captions over your videos for your speech, be very intentional about the words you're speaking if you're doing talking head type videos and things like that. But in the hashtags you're using, the description, the text that you're putting on your videos, all that type of stuff lends to TikTok understanding better where your video needs to be indexed.
Mm-hmm. So what would be some suggestions that you'd give to people? So kind of just really making it practical mm-hmm. so that listeners can take and run with this. Because I know we've talked about like the search bar, which is great, but you could get really stuck in the weeds searching through TikTok for a bunch of different words, especially when you're first starting and you're like, well, maybe I'm a business coach or I'm a life coach or I help people do things in tech, all things that we're familiar with. But, you know, there's also the other side of maybe I'm an artist and I do overhead where I decorate a cake or I am painting or I'm doing some kind of put together. Like we've seen all those ones with like the slime, which is really popular right now. Mm-hmm. What kind of research should people like that do? Because we've got kind of two different categories, people who have businesses that are B2B, but then we've got people that have businesses that are more B2C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and the strategy honestly works the same way. And it's funny, I was actually coaching, there was a band that was asked me to coach them on this very topic and help them with their TikTok. And so one of the things that I encountered with them that I found was that they were struggling with knowing where to position themselves, right? So this is really a marketing type principle here. And mm-hmm. so to answer your question, like what is a new person on TikTok trying, like what do they do to try and get out of that 200 view per video jail, right? So you have to understand how TikTok recognizes people's content. And I know I've kind of talked about this before, but the way it really, it's ridiculous how much it really boils down to SEO, quite frankly. So the way that TikTok's SEO differs from, if anyone's familiar with like how Google's SEO works, is Google will index a topic if it gets any search volume. TikTok is not the same way. That's why it's still the wild, wild west a little bit. TikTok's SEO favors content that reaches a certain threshold. So if there's content created around a certain topic, a certain category, it has to hit a certain threshold of engagement before TikTok will recognize it. The reason why I know this and I discovered this is because I have been very fortunate to actually create a category myself around my content. So if you were to search a very specific term, my videos have gotten enough engagement where you search that term, the search results are going to show all me without exception almost. So that's
so what is the term?
So it's, again, if we, it's quite funny. So I have a series that reenacts exchanges between employees and their bosses. And so the term is telling off your boss. So if your listeners were to go search that term on TikTok, it's almost going to be my face plastered across everything. And I don't say that to brag. I just say that it's a very big blessing that I was able to do that. And I honestly, at first I did it accidentally, but, but now that I understand that, that's how I know that's how the SEO works, is you have to create enough engagement for TikTok to recognize a certain keyword on there, and then it will index the keyword. And if you're persistent with your content, trying to index it that direction, it will index it and associate it to that keyword as well.
Mm. That's awesome. And so I know when we first talked, you had just started doing the tell off your boss mm-hmm. videos. So it's really cool to see how you've grown that. But then on the other hand, it's like, what happens when you have a boring, or you think that it's a boring topic that you're talking about? Because I think I find this more in the B2B space, It's like, well, I'm helping businesses grow. I'm helping businesses with marketing. I'm helping businesses with sales or their tech or their data. What are some ways that you'd suggest that? And then the follow-up question to that is going to be, how do you create your ideas for content when things that you thought were going to work didn't work?
Yeah. So, okay. So the first part of the question is, like, how do you make a boring topic entertaining? Right. And it's funny. I was actually coaching another, business on this. He owns a construction management company and he's like, I love what you're doing on TikTok. And I feel like there's a way, but I don't see how. So the answer to that is like one of the, I think one of, if you think about boring topics, one of the really good examples that comes to mind is like yard maintenance. And so there's a creator or two on TikTok. I see that they get millions of views and they literally just document themselves mowing somebody's lawn. And there's one guy in particular, I can't remember the account or anything, but he will do it for free. He finds a home that needs, you know, a facelift and he'll knock on the door. Hey, can I mow your lawn for free? And he does all the landscaping and everything. And that guy has a huge following, huge engagement with that. So I think anything boring can be made entertaining. And there's now the only there are industries where because of the industry you're in, you're there's red tape and you're not allowed to create content in certain platforms and things like that. So those aside, I think any boring content, any boring topic can be made entertaining if you just are willing to be creative, willing to be try and embarrass yourself, willing to be vulnerable. I don't know. It just works. It can work.
Yeah. So what about when you're trying to generate content ideas? Yeah, how are you going about doing that?
Yeah, I've kind of developed a methodology for myself. It is, I had to write it. I have a 3-foot long poster board that I wrote it all down on because it's so crazy. But, so the first step is think of different, formats of content you want to create. And by format, I mean like what type of video is it? So it might be a dance video. It might be like, what is that format? So for me, I'm around the career and professional development space. So I think of like, okay, I could do street interviews and have my kid follow me with the phone camera. I could do topics around there's the telling off your boss. I could do topics around malicious compliance, which people love. There's all these different formats that you create. And then all you do is you just brain dump all these different ideas for kinds of videos. And then the next step you ask yourself is what are the pain points that my audience has. And then you make a separate list for that. And then you make another list that says, you ask yourself the question, like, how would my audience describe their situation? And then, or another way to ask the question is, how would my audience describe how they would feel if their pain point was resolved? Make lists of all those things. And then you look at that list and you basically take an element from the first list, the second, the third, and the fourth list, mush them together, and there's your idea. And then you create your, what I mentioned earlier, you create your video format. So you're from that, you create your 4-second hook, your deliver value, and if you're trying to generate business, your testimonials or your proof, and then your 4-second call to action from those elements. Do that, and some really cool things can start happening.
Yeah, I love that. And I know that everybody's going to be like, okay, we need to go watch Braxton's stuff and just see what he's been doing, which I think is fabulous because it's so good to watch what other people are doing. Is there anybody in this space that you're like, this is somebody that I took some advice from? Because there's so many people. I mean, there's even people on Threads right now who are like, I'm a Threads expert.
And it's been a week.
It hasn't been around that long. How could you be an expert at this? Yep. Because basically all we've seen with them is that if you're big already, you're big over there. Congratulations. Yay. So it makes us all giggle because there's so many people who are like, oh, well, this platform's really new. We saw the same thing with AI and crypto and all these things. But as far as TikTok, because it's been around a little bit, is there anybody who you're like, yeah, this is somebody that maybe doesn't talk necessarily about how TikTok strategy or anything like that, but somebody who is a creator that you're like, yeah, they're doing this right. And I enjoy watching their content and they're growing and things like that.
Yeah. I almost feel like a hypocrite in some way, giving these tips and this advice, because my opinion is you shouldn't listen to anyone giving you tips on how to grow your TikTok. And so like, I'm pretty confident the way that I've done it works. But it's because no one is talking about TikTok SEO. No one is talking about creating, you know, a video format in a certain way. No one's talking about the power scripting method that I just described, right? That brain dump. No one's talking about those things. So I found those things to work for me and I'm very confident they can work for other people. But I think where it all begins is, again, just be willing to be authentic, be willing to be genuine, be willing to allow yourself to get embarrassed, be willing to experiment, because that's really how you're going to find out what resonates with your audience on there. So all that aside, rather than looking for people that are giving tips about how to grow your TikTok, maybe except for me, but rather than doing that, I would say just look at what other creators are doing. And so one of the creators that I love using as an example is Call Me Chris. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her at all.
I haven't.
She's got, I want to say it's a ridiculous number, 10 million or 40 million followers or something like that. And all Chris does, her content's genuinely funny. Like that's what, but all she does is skits of very wild off the wall things. And she got so popular, I don't know how this happened for her, but she was like trolling Nickelback or something on TikTok, or maybe it was all intentional. I don't know. But she ended up doing a collaboration with Nickelback that was like two or three videos because of that. So that's like how, but it's just because she was willing to do something that in any other setting would probably you would embarrass yourself doing. But she does it in a way that's genuine, it's authentic, it's hilarious. And so my suggestion is find creators that are doing it well, that are transparent, that are authentic, that are genuine, and model them rather than listening to all the gurus giving you all these tips and advice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that that's the best idea, because then you're watching somebody who's actually done it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key to success, is being able to do it, knowing all the things. There's plenty of people who know how to do things that haven't done it for themselves, mm-hmm. Especially in the business space, because the baker's children never eat.
Yep.
So, and I get accused of saying that all the time, but it's so true, because there's just so many things that we don't take into consideration mm-hmm. for ourselves because of fear and what holds us back. I want to touch back on the experimental piece.
Okay.
Because I think that that is so important mm-hmm. for creators in general, primarily for the fact that it turns off that fear center in the brain that makes it go, oh, if this doesn't work, this is going to be bad. This is going to mean that something about me, if it doesn't work. For some reason, when we say, oh, this is a test, this is an experiment, we're going to see how this works, that kind of languaging around it makes us feel a little bit better. So for you, do you feel like calling everything an experiment as you throw it out there has made creating the fun, creative, out-of-the-box content an easier source for you?
I would say so. Like I've reached a point where I don't have to experiment anymore, but that's kind of where all the fun comes, is where I come up with a new idea and I want to see if it resonates or it's almost a challenge. Like I'm pretty confident that this format of a video or this new idea could work. And I post a video like that one time, it doesn't do very well. Now it's a challenge for me to see how I can make it work. Right. So mm-hmm. I would say, and I mean, part of my background, part of my brand really is like, I'm not someone that is formally educated in any way. And so like, in fact, I talk about this on my TikTok all the time. I didn't even graduate high school. And so that I for me personally, I have a natural tendency to just not give a flying flip at all about embarrassing myself, because I was always the weird homeschool kid growing up and I was used to it. You know what I mean? So that willingness to be vulnerable and that willingness to be embarrassed, it comes very easy for me for that reason, I think, because it was ingrained in me from such a young age. And the end result of that is I say a lot of things that are very critical against kind of the status quo and against what is considered common wisdom. Right. And for that reason, I get a lot of criticism, a lot of very unkind DMs and comments and messages and all sorts of things. And you have to be willing to embrace that too. You got to take the good with the bad. And part of the bad is if you really want to grow your social media and any platform, you're going to get criticism and you need to be willing to allow it. Part of being vulnerable means you're allowing it to roll off your back, because you know what you know and you're confident with it, and you just gotta own it. Mm-hmm. So
how do you handle all of that criticism that comes in, especially when it's as personal as a DM?
Yeah. I just remind myself, look at all the people I'm helping. Because I mean, I'm very lucky and fortunate that like my credentials include working with people like that are professionals in Hollywood. I've worked with people that are my clients are people in the C-suite. I've worked with chief officers. I've worked with, you know, some pretty big names. I'm a partner to Monster Jobs. That didn't come easy, but it's because I know the value of something that I'm providing to the world. I have information that I think the world needs to know, and it's not common knowledge. And that is where I get that confidence, is I know this works. I know that this is important. I know the world needs to hear this. So if people aren't willing, if there's people out there that aren't willing to hear it, that's their choice. And it breaks my heart because I know that I could help them too. But if they don't want to hear it, that's their choice.
Mm-hmm. But what you said right there is that it's about the people that you're helping. Mm-hmm. And so many people get onto TikTok and social media platforms in general, and they're like, I'm going to put my stuff out there because this is going to help me gain clients and this is going to help me make money. And yes, that is a goal. But when it's not, when it's the main goal, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it kills authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For that very reason, I've actually been contemplating doing a pivot with this business for that very reason, because if it's going to be about the people, then let's truly make it about the people and about helping people and making their livelihood and making their lives better.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially in the career space with all the layoffs going on in the world, mm-hmm. and the news never talking about anything optimistic. We only have to talk about all the things that are happening terrible in the workforce. You get to be that shining light that kind of pokes fun at, like, yeah, this stuff is happening, yep. but how do we change it? And how do we actually make it better? And how do we find you better positions so that you can live the life that you want to, which is such a valuable thing that you're bringing to the world?
I like to think so. Yeah.
Well, and it is. It's something that so many people need, that a lot of people, I think, you know, we go to school, we get trained how to create that widget, and then we go into the workforce, mm-hmm. and then realize that that's not how it actually works in the real world, because school's super behind. And a lot of people just get stuck. And so having some place, that's why I love TikTok. It's a place where people can just be themselves in a very authentic way, but also in a very vulnerable and somewhat safe way. Mm-hmm. There is definitely some trolls out there, but they're going to be everywhere.
Yep.
But I think that there's a lot more support on those platforms because they're seeing your face. Mm-hmm. It's not just them hiding behind their keyboard, which is some of the things that we saw with Twitter, is why people could be so mean and hateful there, because they couldn't see who you were. And now that we can see who you are, it changes the dynamic, because I know that there's a real person behind that. It's not just some rando typing words onto the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
So with everything that we've talked about, is there anything else that you're like, this is something that people need to know that they can walk away with?
Yeah. So I guess one thing that, if we're talking about creators and wanting to, you know, grow a business, part of what my company does in terms of like how we monetize what we're doing is I'm very lucky to make a significant amount of income from TikTok's creator program, which is basically TikTok it's their revenue share program. They give you money if you bring people to their platform and get views. So I'm very lucky in that I also am able to do that as an influencer to some extent. And if you want to do that for yourself, if you're a creator and you're seeing an opportunity where you can monetize just the content you're creating, you want to jump in on that, I would say everything I talked about today, where from the strategy, from how to frame your videos, from being authentic, all that can apply to help you generate some income directly from TikTok.
Yeah, I think that that's fabulous. So I know that we asked this on the last one, but I'm curious to see, if you had a warning label, what would yours be? Has it changed in the last couple of months since we talked last with all the new experiences that you have?
I would say not. I think if I recall, the warning label was he's going to be very direct and say some things that offend people. And he's okay with that because the world needs to know what he has to share.
Yeah, I think that that's very accurate. And it's one of the things that I love most about you is that you're very like in your face. This is how it is. And I appreciate your content on every platform because it's refreshing to see somebody actually stand up for what they believe in and not skirt around it in hopes of saving somebody's feelings when they're wrong.
Yeah, I'm not known for that at all.
And that's the beautiful thing of it, and that's why we're buddies.
I appreciate that.
Braxton, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again and talking with us. I'm sure that we'll have more things in the future as we both grow and learn new things about all of the crazy changes that are happening in the world. But Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah. So my TikTok, if you were to, it's a funny username, but it's Work For Real. If you were to search that, you'll find me. And I actually have a second TikTok that I'm just starting to grow a little bit. So I won't, that one is Career On Command, which is my the name of my company. So if you are looking for help with your career, with your business, all that type of stuff, you can Google Career On Command or just go to my TikTok. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. Search that anywhere. You'll probably find me.
Yeah. So anybody who's looking to hop to a new job, trying to find that next big opportunity career, Braxton is your guy. And again, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and we will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the Top Shelf Creator Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok at Top Shelf Creator. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we would love to see you share it with a friend and give us a review wherever you listen to help us reach more creators and entrepreneurs just like you.